Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The text for the address today is the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 15. I read to you again just the first part of the first verse. Now I should remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, we ask that by your Spirit you fill us with the joy of your Son's resurrection from the dead. We pray this in his name. Amen. Don't you love getting good news? Good news can really brighten your day. I know someone that when they have a bad day, they'll just ask me, say, have you got any good news for me? Can you just tell me something? Some good news. It's all the more the case because there's so much bad news in the world. It feels like every time you turn on the television, it's just one bad news story after another. Did you know there have even been alternative news agencies set up for just this issue? So you can go online and you can join something called the Good News Network. And it says on the website, this is to be an antidote to the barrage of negativity experienced in the mainstream media. I haven't been on there. I don't know what they show. It's maybe all stories of puppies and laughing babies and rainbows. I really don't know. But we love good news. We need good news. I wonder what's the most important good news you've ever received. Maybe it was the news that you were successful in landing that dream job. Maybe it was the news of having fallen pregnant or of a healthy birth. Maybe it was the news from the bank that your mortgage was paid off. Maybe it was the news from the doctor that those test results were all clear. What a privilege it is to proclaim the Word of God on Easter. Because today I have not just some good news for you, but the good news. The good news, St. Paul says, is of first importance. The good news that is not just about brightening up your day, but about joy that lasts into eternity. The good news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That having died for your sins, the grave could not hold him. He is risen and he brings new life to all who trust in him. This is the gospel. And this is the focus of our text and so the focus of our sermon today. We'll consider just three basic aspects of this gospel. First, the nature of it. Second, the content of it, and third, our response to it. So first, let's think about the nature of the Christian gospel. That is to say, what sort of thing is it? And the way I want to make this point is to think about the difference between good news and good advice. Because they are different things. And there's a lot of confusion where some people think the central message of the Christian faith is good advice, but it's not. It's good news. Now, that's not to say there's no place for good advice. Good advice, as the name suggests, is a good thing. I've received lots of good advice in my life. Good practical tips that have helped me in all sorts of ways. You know, practice makes perfect, Josh. Be good to your mother. Look people in the eye when you're talking to them. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Don't eat all your Easter eggs on the first day. I was the kid who could never listen to that advice. Now, some of this good advice is profound. You spend your whole life working on it. But good news is something different. It's of a different kind. Because while good advice basically gives you something to do, good news is about something that's already happened outside of you, that is announced to you. And don't hear me wrong here. It's not to say there isn't any good advice in the Bible. There certainly is. There's laws and commandments. There's this whole tradition of wisdom, which is all about how to live in this life. There is the teaching of Jesus and the apostles, and much of this contains good advice, you could say. But the point is that when it comes to the core of our faith, when it comes to the central message of Christianity, when it comes to the gospel, it's not good advice. It's good news. And we need to return to this basic fact again and again because there's so much confusion about it. Just the other day, I heard a very famous and intelligent academic sort of guy who wasn't a Christian, but he studied the Bible a lot, and he said, Christianity is primarily an ethical framework. But it's just not true. Now, if ethical frameworks is not your sort of language, the way the person on the street says this is Christianity is just another set of rules. It's just about following a bunch of rules. How many times have you heard this? It's not true. Yes, our faith provides an ethical framework for life. Yes, there are rules we are to strive to follow as Christian people, but that's not the core of our faith. That's not the central message. That's not what we get together on occasions like this to celebrate on these days. We celebrate what's at the center, the gospel, the good news. So what is it? What's the content of this gospel? There's different ways that it's described in the New Testament, but it always comes back to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in these first few verses of 1 Corinthians 15, you get probably the most succinct summary or even definition of what the gospel is. And it really comes down for St. Paul to four things, or even you could say two pairs of things. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to many. In its simplest form, this is the gospel. The death and burial of Jesus and his resurrection and appearances, and they go together, two sides of the one coin. And the way it works in these pairs is that in each case the second part confirms the first. I'll show you what I mean. So the first pair is about death and burial. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. In other words, this was no accident, what happened on Good Friday. Jesus was not a victim of circumstances. This happened according to the plan of God, foretold in the Scriptures, that Jesus Christ, God's dearly beloved Son, would die in your place as your substitute to take away your sin. And he was buried, Paul says. Now, why bother mentioning that? Have you noticed in the Gospels that they take quite some time to describe the burial of Jesus? What's going on there? There's probably several reasons, but one of the main ones is the obvious. Burial confirms you are dead. This was no coma that Jesus went into and then he awoke in the cool of the tomb, as some have claimed. If you've ever been with someone near death or even with someone as they die, you know there's nothing quite like it. Well, Jesus really, truly died. And his burial confirms it. That's the first pair, the one side of the gospel coin, if you like. The other side, then, is what we, of course, celebrate this day. His resurrection and appearances. After 3 days, he rose again. But even there, what do we actually mean by this? What are we saying when we confess that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, it's the appearances of Jesus, the second part of that pair, that confirm and tell us what this resurrection is all about. In other words, being raised from the dead doesn't mean that his soul disappeared to heaven, because he appeared to many people. And being raised doesn't mean the disciples were just so captivated by who he was and his teaching that as they remembered him, it was as if he was alive. It's not that, because he appeared to many witnesses. More than 500, Paul says, and he even says some are still alive. In other words, if you're the first hearers of this, he said, go and check it out for yourself. That Jesus appeared to many shows us this was a bodily resurrection. This was a supernatural, miraculous event where God intervened in this world to raise his son to new life in a glorified body. Dear friends, left on your own, your sins are bad news. And I could give you some advice about how to deal with them yourself, but instead, I have good news for you, that Christ has died for your sins. Friends, left on your own, your impending death is bad news. And I could give you some advice about maybe how to live longer. There's plenty of people out there giving advice on that, isn't there? On your diet, on your exercise, all sorts of things. And yet, even with the best health advice in the world, guess what? The mortality rate is holding fairly steady at 100%. And so instead of good advice, I have good news for you. Christ rose from the dead. He has overcome and defeated death for you, and he now shares this new everlasting life with you. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is its content. So then, what do we do with it? What's our response? Lots of things come to mind. We could respond in praise and thanksgiving. That's certainly fitting and right, and we do plenty of that on Easter morning, and it's wonderful. Or we could respond by sharing this gospel. That's a good thing too. It's a bad news world out there, and people desperately need to hear this good news. But actually, it's neither of these responses that are in our text. Instead, what St. Paul emphasizes here of this gospel is that it's that which you simply receive and in which you stand. So the first response to the gospel is to receive it, which in the context is receiving in faith, trusting Christ and what he has done for you. That's just what you do with good news, any good news. For it to have its impact in your life, you hear it, receive it, trust in it, and live accordingly. And perhaps there's someone here today who has yet to put their trust in Christ and this gospel. And if that is the case, I appeal to you this very day to trust him, to trust in the saving work of Jesus Christ for you. And perhaps there's someone else here today who is ready to give up on this faith. But God is reaching out to you today and asking you to trust him because of what he's done for you in Jesus Christ. So first, we receive in faith this good news. But then having believed, Paul uses this other word. He says we are to stand in the gospel. So what's this all about? This is a word that actually comes up a lot in the New Testament to describe the Christian life. And as far as I can tell here, the basic image is that to stand is the opposite of to fall. So a couple chapters before this, Paul said, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. There's the contrast. So you could say the basic picture is of two postures in life. One standing up on your feet, secure, established and confident, ready to face the world. The other having fallen over, insecure, weak, vulnerable. Now notice what Paul is saying. That what we stand in as a church and as Christian people is nothing we do in ourselves. But it's what Christ has done that puts us on our feet. The church stands in the gospel. The foundation of the church is not however many meters of concrete. The foundation is Christ's work in his death and resurrection. As Christian people, we stand firm in this good news. He puts us on our feet so that we can face the world with confidence. I love looking at those photos from the end of World War II, where the Allied victory was announced in different places around the world. Maybe you know these photos. People dancing and celebrating in the streets, and there's that famous photo of the guy supposedly kissing the girl he'd never met. It's great stuff. And as I was thinking about the imagery in this text, a very simple thing occurred to me about those photos. That in all of them, everyone is on their feet. No one's falling over. The victory was won. The good news of that victory was announced. They received it and they were on their feet, standing firm and confident, ready to face the future. Of course, there were plenty of challenges and trials to come, but they could stand with confidence having received the news of the victory. Well, in Christ's death and resurrection, the victory over sin, death, and the devil has been won. It can put us on our feet, confident and established to face the future. May we stand firm in this gospel, even if everything around us is crumbling down. We all need to hear good news now and again, don't we? And I really do hope that in your lives you get all sorts of good news in the future. But never forget the best news of all. What Paul says is of first importance. Here in the life of the church, you've come to the True Good News Network, where Sunday by Sunday we are broadcasting the death of Christ for your sins and his resurrection to new life for your new life. And it's here that we share in the victory feast that knows no end. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. In the name of the risen Jesus, Amen.